Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Hey there! Do you like films? Do you like wrestling from the 2000s? Do you want to see a film about wrestling from the 2000s? Well, WrestleTalk are hosting a special screening of Ready to Rumble for its 19th anniversary at the Prince Charles Cinema in Leicester Square on May 7th, 2019.
Wrestling's fake.
Wrestling's not fake!
Myself, Ollie Davis, Luke Owen, Laurie Blake, Randy Andy Datsun, Pete Quinnell, and maybe a few other surprises will be in attendance for a meet and greet before the film.
And then stick around after the screening for a special Wrestle Ramble podcast recording where we'll talk in depth about David Arquette winning the WCW Championship to promote the film and what it did for the wrestling industry.
Would that be raw sewage I'm smelling?
They kind of always like that smell.
If you've not seen Ready to Rumble before, come see the sports entertainment epic the Detroit News said manages to insult not only pro wrestlers, but also their fans.
Brittany, let's go out again. We'll talk about me and you.
Dude, you're in there.
The Matt-based masterpiece the New York Post called a toilet humor farce proud of its own crudeness.
Your sister shot her first perp today.
That's nice, Gabby.
And if that doesn't tempt you, the Orlando Sentinel said of this barn burner brilliance, yes, film fans, there is a new worst movie of all time.
Any match, any time.
The Steel Cage.
Steel Cage wins.
So come see...
Shut up, Randy!
You're not part of this!
So come see Ready to Rumble at the Prince Charles Cinema on May 7th with your friends at WrestleTalk. Tickets are available now.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by El Fakeador Laurie Blake.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, bud.
Hey, mate.
How's it going?
Yeah, I'm all right, man. How are you?
I'm tired.
Yeah.
Feel tired today.
Oh, it's probably staying out of the pub last night.
It was.
Probably yeah. Staying out of the pub, having a few too many beverages.
Yeah, I don't think us staying down the pub certainly helped.
No.
And, you know, remember when we were talking about that Buxton beer that was like 7%?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I had
yeah.
one of them and I thought, probably shouldn't have another one of these.
Yeah.
Not on a Wednesday, not on a school night, should I have a double hit of this 7% lager.
14% of lager.
And then you said
to
me,
that's how it works.
In for a penny, in for a pound. Do you want another one?
Yeah, I'm a bad influence.
Yeah, because Big Wave wasn't on at that point.
Yeah.
So.
Well, hopefully they have Big Wave at the event on the weekend and we can drink that there.
I don't think they will.
I don't think they will either. But I think, yeah.
Carling or bust.
Having that that second Buxton, I think certainly probably didn't help matters.
Mm.
But I fell asleep on the tube.
Oh, no.
Made a mess of that Subway that we bought.
Mate, I'm not normally a connoisseur of the Subway to the point where I didn't know what the other option beyond footlong was because it wasn't written down anywhere. So I ended up with the footlong because that was the only thing I saw to order.
Lot of sandwich.
I don't think I've ever been as embarrassed eating anything on the tube in my life as eating that. Yeah. One, because it's like... It's long, isn't it?
Yeah, it like, is. Oh, yeah. And it's not easy to eat.
And you have to... Like, I carried it in a little bag with me to the train station. I was like, oh, I look like such a pleb holding this sausage of disgusting, like, drunk food. And then when I was eating it on the tube, every bite a shower of crumbs, loose lettuce,
oh, yeah,
discarded jalapenos. I was basically sitting in my own salad by the end of it. I was like, what's going on?
I got their vegan mayo all over my jeans.
Yeah. I had to stand up before the train guard came down and sort of sweep it all away from me to be like, I wasn't eating a dirty Subway on your Subway.
Mine was all over the show. Because I, for the first time ever, I have no idea what compelled me to do this, but for the first time ever, I had olives in my Subway. I'll be honest with you.
I saw you do that. Not a couple of olives, mate.
I had probably about three of them in total because the rest of them fell.
Yeah.
They just completely fell from the sarnie in, like, just completely all over the floor. I moved carriages.
Yeah.
I finished. I was so embarrassed by the terrible mess that I made. I'd sweeped it up as best as I could into, like, a little pile. Dirty, gross, disgusting floor of the central line.
Yeah.
I was just making it worse. And I was like, I'm just going to move.
I think Subway is the only drunk food that shames you as you eat it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God,
it's got a built-in shame mechanism.
Yeah.
It's like you instantly eat it and then you get showered in crumbs. It's like, look at you, you dirty, dirty man.
Steak
covered in
you.
Your own filth.
Can't even eat a sandwich properly.
Oh, it's disgusting.
Yeah, it was not a pretty
sight.
It
was regrettable.
Yeah.
In regrettable but necessary because I feel fine today.
Yeah, it did. You know, I woke up very thirsty, I'd imagine, from all the salt that's within the actual sandwich.
Loose bread. it was just loose bread.
I woke up at 3 this morning and throat was so
mouthfully
dry.
Yeast.
I was like, I need water. I was like the alien from Men in Black.
So Edgar.
Yes.
Moh.
Sugar and water. Moh. So yeah, so I got home though, but I
that's good to know.
But I fell asleep on the central line. Probably
you live at the end though, don't you?
Yes, which is fortunate. So from about
I used to fall asleep on the as soon as I knew I lived on the end of the line. When I lived in Ealing and I lived on the end of the central line, I would just be like,
sleep time.
Sleep time. Someone will wake me up.
And so
I'm someone else's responsibility now.
I'm going to eat myself by
covered in dust.
Covered in dust and jalapenos. Wake me up at the Ealing Broadway.
Like a bready Pompeii.
And from about Holborn, I just fell asleep.
Mm.
And then I woke myself up 2 stops before I needed to get off the tube, but then just fell right back asleep again. And
not me, I guess.
Yeah, it was like, nope, not yet, I guess. And then, I was woken up by a train conductor being like, we're at the end of the line now.
Mm. Take your jalapenos.
Get
off the damn
train.
Obviously,
we did with the olives in the other train. So I got off the carriage and I was like, well, I'll just walk across the platform and I'll just get a train that's going back the other way. Because although I am at the end of the line, I'm the second to last stop.
Right.
I am like 20 minutes walk, maybe a half hour walk away
from the train station.
From the train station to my house.
Yes.
And I was like,
I've done that walk in the rain.
So I was like, what I'll do is I'll just get the next train. I'll just get a train that's coming back the other way until I was reliably informed that, mate, it's past midnight. There are no more trains that are going eastbound.
Yeah.
There are only trains coming in westbound now.
And I'm like, God.
Oh, yeah. You're right. That is going to happen.
So I made a car out of olive rings and I drove home.
And discarded lettuce. So I had to get an Uber. I had to get an Uber from the station to my house. It was literally a 4-minute drive. I've never felt so like, I thought I'd felt shame with the Subway. But I think that compounded with the Uber gave me like Uber shame. It gave me like ultra shame of being like, I am not an adult. I'm 33 years old.
Yeah.
I've poorly eaten a sandwich and I'm now getting an Uber for a 4-minute drive because I fell asleep on the tube.
If you think that is a bad story for getting an Uber, we once got an Uber to, and it was me, housemate Simon, and my missus, and we got a Uber back from somewhere we'd been. On the way, we stopped at the drive-through KFC that is down the road.
Uh-oh.
And we just went to the Uber driver, look, we're not going to insult you by making you drive us through the KFC drive-through. So we got out and we tried to go in. They were locked. And the guy and the thing just sort of motioned like, go here. So we walked around the building and couldn't see like a window outside where you could order. Mm. So we decided drunkenly, I guess we just queue up like cars. So we were then queuing up for a while, like, to go through this KFC thing. And then we realized as we got all the way around again, we were like, oh, there's a little ordering window for, like, walk-ups.
Oh.
So we've been queuing like cars for ages.
Unnecessarily.
Just wanted some chicken tenders, man. Like...
So anyway, yeah, but a good night though.
Yeah,
good fun little fun. Night out. We went out with website writer Louis or Lewis, depending on what mood you're in. And we were there with Randy, Andy Datson, Chopper Pete, mm-hmm. Ollie Davis. We played a bit of Smash Up. You had an epic game of Smash Up.
We
going.
Did a very we, long I, one.
We just got decimated by, well, I'm going to say cheating Randy Datson, but he wasn't cheating. He was just playing well within the rules.
He just had two very good decks.
He had two very good decks that went together and just got very lucky with his draws. You know that bloody alien card that gives you a victory point every time you play it? Couldn't find him for love nor money.
No.
Never came up. Annoying. It was right at the bottom of my deck.
Mulliganing. Yeah, our game went on so long because it turns out that Pete will just play any card in his hand that says does something to other players. So for the first probably six rounds, we just got shut down because Pete was just like, and you do this, and this happens, and this happens, and now this, chuck away some of your cards, take these cards, do this thing. And then I went on a bit of a six-round rampage of just getting my own back, in which I killed all of his cards. But because I was the ninjas, and the ninjas are sneaky, you can play them onto bases that are already breaking to score points. So I just, my tactic was consistently come second.
Yeah.
And I came second all the way until I came first.
Nice.
That's the plan.
It's the title of your sex tape.
Yes, that's it.
Anyway, let's crack on into the main show itself, because we're talking about a little lad called Kushida that has debuted in NXT. Here is the show. Let's talk about this week's NXT.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been a moment that's been sort of hyped on the show. Mine's about to fall down. This is a moment that's been hyped on the show now for a few weeks, which is the debut of Kushida, former IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion Kushida. And he made his debut on tonight's show. Got a like video package at the start to be like, this is going to be
Yeah, they massively hyped him. Yeah.
Massively hyped him. In the last couple of weeks, they've been having like William Regal going like, it's a very, very exciting
He's the most unbelievable athlete I've ever seen anyone quite as exciting as Kushida.
I've not got the internet, so I don't really know.
And yeah, so they were doing a big old hype of it. It was like pushed as the main event of this show. Last week it was set up that he was going to face Cassius Ohno in this main event. And yeah, he has got a big old entrance.
Yeah, I like it. I really like it.
You can tell when NXT wants to push someone as a star because they give them the big old entrance.
Yeah,
This isn't just here's some.
He's got
music.
A countdown clock.
He isn't just like Mansoor's here. This is like
Splimmin' Mansoor.
No, this is Kushida, man. Yeah, he's got the big old light show, as you say, a countdown timer, and he does the big entrance. He's in his full Time Splitters gear.
Comes up from below the.
I think he's probably just like ducking down, like the Ascension used to do.
Yeah.
And then sort of comes into shot. Very, very cool entrance.
Yeah, it is really cool. And then the lights go up and down as well when he gets to the final bit and he does his looking at his watch.
He's looking at his watch because he goes back to the future. It's a very, very cool presentation for Kushida. So very, very excited to see this microphone. Very excited. Housemate Simon's done a number on this. Very excited to see where this is going to go from here. And he had a very good match. With Cassius Ohno. Cassius Ohno, usually the measuring stick for NXT debuts or debutantes. And they had a very solid match. I really enjoyed Cassius in this match. But I thought Kushida came out looking awesome at the end.
Yeah, I liked the... they started off with sort of chain wrestling and grappling and sussing each other out. And Kushida came out on top of that, doing the spins around the top and then the back pat and the walk away. They kept calling back to the handshake from the beginning that was denied. That was really good. And it paid off really well when Kushida finally starts his big comeback.
Yeah.
And he just
grabs the
hand.
He
just grabs a hand and shakes it. Yeah. It's like, I'm stealing a handshake then.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've earned this handshake now.
Yeah. I thought it was a really good match. I almost would have preferred, though, something a bit like with less of a size differential to begin with. I know that Cassius Ohno is the measuring stick, but something more faster, snappier, like get someone in from 205 and have that match.
Humberto Carrillo.
Yes, like I just think something where it can really be like, this is a complete change of pace to what you're expecting.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Because there was a couple of bits where it just, it like the springboard Hurricanrana, like didn't quite go off as impressively as you would hope, just because Cassius is a much bigger man.
He's a large frame.
He's a large individual.
And it's difficult to then Hurricanrana that man round, or it's like Dragonrana him, essentially. And it was like they did the handshake spot at the start with Ono sort of sarcastically offering a handshake, but Kushida took that, and Ono then used that to take over. And it was a lot of like Kushida trying to make a comeback and Ono shutting him down with sort of like, and he shut him down at one point with this ginormous electric chair drop.
Yes.
Good crikey. Just completely flat.
And they popped him up onto his knees first and then just went, okay, there
off,
you are.
Down you go now. Face first into the mat. Came up bloody nose and all. Mm. Looked like you'd like...
We'd already been busted open by that point from, I think, one of the spinning kicks or something. But...
Oh, yeah. He was... Kicking him hard in the face was pretty much what was on the menu.
That was the handshake, wasn't it? So he goes for the handshake and he just whips him. And as he comes back off the ropes, just boom, his foot's already there. It's not even like a step up. It's just his foot's there.
Yeah. And but she just got some lovely, lovely right hands on him, including one which is sort of like a wind-up punch. The old finisher of No Way Jose.
Mm.
It might still be his finisher. I don't know.
He popped them up and then just went... Mm.
But he also like used to do the big sort of wind-up thing where you, like I said, baseball...
Oh, I hate No Way Jose so much.
It's rubbish.
What a terrible gimmick.
Yeah, and Kushida tried a handspring at one point and Ono just clocked him with an elbow. Mm. Really, really cool. And then he was setting up for another elbow, but that's when Kushida did the big wind-up punch, hit the penalty kick, and got in the hoverboard lock for the win.
Hoverboard lock.
And there were just... countless Back to the Future references on commentary from Morrow and Nigel. And it, like earlier in the show, he was like, "Later tonight, we don't need Rhodes. Kushida debuts."
Yeah, they went ham on.
Yeah.
Will he be Biff? Will he send him back to the future?
It's kind of what I want, though. From, especially like with someone like Mauro Ranallo, who is very much high on his pop culture references in commentary. So I quite enjoyed that.
Has he got the almanac? Does he know? Does he know the
outcome?
Don't
make a bet. Can't change the future. Anyway, so I thought it was a good debut.
It was a fun debut.
Not like a blowaway debut. And it's not like it's far from the best Kushida match I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
But it's I thought it was a really solid debut for him. Yeah. Good to just introduce him out to the audience. The audience were like, they knew who he was.
Yeah.
And it's funny as well. So they did the investors conference call recently, the WWE one, where they were going through the financials. And one of the shareholders was asking about... new stars, and he said, like, or they said, I should say, how long does it take to create a John Cena or a Roman Reigns?
Mm.
And Triple H's answer was just like, look, here's the thing, we don't bring in stars, we create stars. And I look, and I like, you look at Kushida, I'm like, well, you didn't create him.
Yeah,
like,
you definitely brought in some stars.
You've brought him, like, he is over because people know who he is.
Yeah,
because
he's got the same name, man.
Because he's a former IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion. He's been wrestling all over the world. People know who this lad is.
Yeah.
You have not created this man. And like Meltzer points out in the Observer newsletter, that at the last takeover, there was only three people on that list that you could claim to have created, which is Velveteen Dream, Shayna Baszler, who arguably worked on the indies anyway and was made elsewhere.
Yeah.
And Bianca Belair.
Mm.
And everyone else came in from other places and were stars before they even arrived.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, it's a silly mindset to have, really, isn't it? It's like I think you take stars and you make them bigger, sure, but you're just giving them access to a much larger audience.
That's
kind of the deal. I would have liked to have seen this match with Kushida, though, be the equivalent of, say, when Shinsuke Nakamura arrives and has that match with Sami Zayn.
Mm.
Like, that match was like, oh, man, you need to pay attention to this. And obviously the promo stuff had probably lasted a little bit longer when they were bringing over Shinsuke. Like, we knew he was coming a lot longer.
Mm.
They had a lot more cooler vignettes, I think. But that match really just was like, oh, okay. Because, like, Sami Zayn was super over at the time. It's like, Cassius Ohno doesn't really feel like... even the right character at this exact moment in time to be the one to have Kushida's first match, if you know what I mean. Like,
I think it sort of works.
It kind of works, but he's gone over to the UK and he's been doing that stuff. He quit NXT because he's fed up with the new toys and stuff. And then he comes back to be like, oh,
I'll have a match with the new toys.
And I just feel like there could have been more of an old guard. Like, if he'd just come in and had his first match with Gargano and just had this crazy, like, not going to win the title, but just this amazing debut.
Yeah.
I would have loved something like that.
That'd have been really cool, yeah.
Something that just goes like, oh, this is the league he's in. He's not in Cassius Loser Ohno League, who got mashed up by Matt Riddle, the last guy who came in, and he was like, not another new guy. I'll show him the way things are done.
Boot to face.
Yeah, boot to face. Yeah, exactly. It doesn't quite set up Kushida enough to beat Cassius Ohno, apart from the sort of size difference, I think. It'd be like, he's a smaller man who beat a much bigger man.
And I suppose it'd be interesting to see what they do with Kushida next in terms of the North American Championship picture seems fairly stacked at the moment, and they got to kind of be setting up Dream versus Dijakovic, but also there are, we won't give any spoilers for the late set of TV tapings, but there are people who are coming in from other places who also seem to be sort of getting into that mix.
Yes.
So I'd like to see them, but I mean, I feel like we say this with every person that debuts in NXT. I'd like to see them get into a storyline quickly, so it's not just have some matches. Because otherwise you end up like Keith Lee, bless his heart, who's been there for a year now. And
nothing happens.
And nothing happens.
Nothing doing.
You know, is he ever going to get that match against Dijakovic? Are they ever going
to
do that?
That was the only thing that was about to happen for him, and they just haven't been able to...
You know, unfortunately, he got injured.
Fresh at the same time.
That's it, yeah. He unfortunately got injured. But, like, you had months before that to be able to sort something out.
I'm hoping that that comes... I'm hoping that Dijakovic takes the North American title off Dream. And then we free up Dream to go elsewhere. And then Lee comes back. And that match is for that belt.
I'd worry about Velveteen Dream going elsewhere, though. I've worries of him going to the main roster and just being looked at a guy like, don't get you.
Yeah, but that's the risk you take, isn't it?
Well, it's always going to be, I feel more, like if you stay in NXT, at least you're protected.
It's still more money to go to the main roster.
It is still more money. There is always that side of things.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Randy, Andy Datsun, should we have some super chats, please?
You can, although should we first look at who Laurie looks like? Because we've done who I look like, who you look like, who Ollie looks like. We haven't done Pete, but we can do Laurie.
Well, we had Laurie, who Laurie looks like, a lot when he first joined.
Well, would you... I've got a new list if you'd like it.
I'm gonna get. Can I guess some of them are already on there? Is Mark Andrews one of them?
No.
Is Harper one of? Not Harper. Yeah, Rowan one of them.
No, actually, but yeah.
No, I literally. What about? I just pick anyone with
what's
beard.
What's his name now in the Viking Raiders?
Row or Hansen?
Yeah, it was Row, but now he's.
Eric or Ivar?
Which one is he?
I'm not sure which one's which now.
Me neither. But we've got
one of those lads,
Dr. Robotnik.
Oh, that's mine!
Luke Owen. Sami Zayn. Seamus. Man with sexy beard.
That's fine.
Oney Lorcan.
That's fine.
This one, I think, is might be untrue, but Darren Young.
Exactly. That I'm the spit of Darren Young.
Oh, no. Oh, no, because you messaged later saying, sorry, I got confused. I'm Eric Young. Young.
Yeah.
And also, you look like El Fakador.
I mean, they all have beards.
Yeah.
And that is...
I don't think he looks like El Fakador, though.
Beards are the perfect disguise. That's what it turns out. No one can see past the beard. They just go, beard.
Beard. I see beard now.
Is that Abe Lincoln?
But yes, yeah, so we had the one earlier from Alistair Gammon to say, see you Tuesday.
Very much looking forward to seeing you, Alistair.
Victor Vega says, I am Victor representing the House of Vega.
Cool. I wonder if Victor
As in
Vega...
Zelina or Vega from Street Fighter?
Well, I was thinking more, because I thought that his name might be a reference to John Travolta's character in Pulp Fiction. Because he's Vic Vega.
The picture is like some kind of anime thing with like shining eyes.
But that could literally be anything.
Any anime.
That is every single anime ever made has that image. That's my spicy hot take.
Oh, he's looking up someone's skirt now as well. every anime ever.
Dustin Pylon, which is a great name, says, hey guys, been loving your content for over a year now. Keep it up. Well wishes from Canada's capital, which is...
C.
Maple syrup. Bear.
Moose!
Do you actually know the answer?
Calgary.
Is it Ontario? No, Ontario's a province, isn't it? Calgary?
It's Ottawa.
Oh, well. Bless you.
There you go. Thank you.
That's a small aquatic animal, isn't it? Ottawa.
We've noticed that Randy likes to try and do some showing off with knowledge in any of these
He's
days.
Got a computer!
Yeah, like yesterday he was just like, they've got a flag in their avatar, which if I'm not mistaken is the Haitian flag. No need to actually have that conversation.
It's not a pub quiz, mate.
Just wanted to show that he knew what that flag was.
I like flags. JobberJJ496 says, thoughts on main roster wrestlers going back to NXT? I'm assuming he means Tyler Breeze and...
Randy, I literally said not 2 minutes ago we're not going to go into spoilers from the latest set of tapings.
People wouldn't have known if you hadn't have said that. We could have passed that off.
main roster people that have gone back.
But he's been on it several times in the last...
He's been on it once on TV.
So we've had, but we have had before. Others. If we take it in this, even just in things we've seen, we've had Drew Gulak goes back recently and had a match. Like,
but he's not main roster.
I know, but he's on the sort of that circuit. You know, we've had Breeze go back. I think the Banks and Bailey went back for a pointless promo, an utterly pointless promo.
Yeah,
I think it's a good thing.
I think it's great.
I think it's, but. I also think the superstar shakeup is good telly for a week, 2 weeks, but also a wasted opportunity to just have a revolving door system. And I say this all the time. It's like the fact that you could have the superstar shakeup and that feel every week if you wanted to, if you just had someone who they weren't expecting turn up and have a match. If Walter just rocked up to Raw and murdered someone, you'd be like, oh my God, Walter was on Raw. And then he doesn't have to be on Raw for another 2 years.
Yeah.
But you've had that moment of like, wow, I can't believe he was there. Pete Dunne is another perfect example. Someone who just like, if Pete Dunne just turned up and did something.
He did that one.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
I know he has
ago,
done.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, it's just, if you do that with people... People feel like anything can happen, rather than being like, this week, something might happen.
Yeah, they did it last year with Nikki Cross as well. Like, I think it depends on where you are in the country.
That's because of the UK.
That's why Pete Dunne was there, is because they were doing the UK Manchester shows. They were like, well, let's bring out this lad, because that would be a nice way to pop the crowds.
Yeah, but then at some point they've got to separate the product from like the live show and the TV show bit, and stop thinking about the live show overtaking the TV show, because... They're all wrestling fans.
I'm starting to think that NXT and NXT UK aren't even in the same universe. Mansour's on both shows. He must have been knackered from the flight. Randy, was there a question there, or did we just sort of spin off into just...
Yeah, no,
just
so it was, what are your thoughts on it happening?
Oh, yeah, good.
I think it's great.
Particularly if they're not being used on the main roster and they're creatively frustrated. Like, I think it's a good way to sort of appease wrestlers who are just like, I'm not being used on TV, I'm unhappy, I want to leave. Then you're like, well...
you can go back to NXT for 6 months. Then.
You don't have to move around for as much. Like, yeah. You just have to be here, a couple, you know, to do.
Dolph
some would
still be in the company if that was an option. If like, yeah. if he'd have been given the offer, go to NXT for 6 months, he would have taken it, and he wouldn't have been going off to do his quote unquote comedy.
Yeah.
He would have stuck around to actually do some wrestling.
I just think it's so worth doing, and like also because you can legitimize champions through the use of these people who've already been through the system.
Yeah.
Like it makes perfect sense to have someone come back and be like, "I'm going to challenge you for this title," like Tyler Breeze challenging Ricochet. That was, you know,
cool.
Tomo says, "Who should Kushida's first NXT feud be? Keep up the consistency, fellas."
That's a tough one of who the first feud should be. Because normally you'd just say Ono, but I don't think a feud with Ono would be worth his time or worthwhile. Really, it's not going to get him any more over. So yeah, who'd be a good?
I like in NXT.
Tell you what, let's bring up the old faithful list of WWE personnel.
Let's have that.
Kona Reeves,
Tesco's finest.
Get out.
Yeah, I mean it might be
something
Tesco's
for
finest.
Kona to do. Bless him.
Who have we got? So we could do him with the Undisputed Era. We could do him with the Baby Faces. Do him with the Forgotten Sons. There's Tesco's Finest. Matt Riddle. Mm. Again, Babyface. Shane Thorne, if you wanted to repackage him.
Velveteen
Dream's tied up in other things, though.
I quite like the Forgotten Sons as a...
Yeah.
That would be quite
Yeah,
fun.
Him going up against a unit, like a sort of a three-man group, I think would be quite... There's something to be had in that.
Yeah, like him overcoming Riker eventually would be the kind
That'd
of
be
like
really cool,
his boss fight, yeah.
Yeah.
After he's gone back to the future to work out.
So he's Biff Tannen.
Yeah.
But like alternate 1985 Biff Tannen, where he's had the sports almanac and he's made all of his money.
Exactly.
And he's now running Hill Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Great film.
Wonderful movie.
Small Afro Games, who I believe you...
Jaron Walker.
No, it's Jaron Walker, says nothing but gives a little donation.
Thank you kindly. Jaron. And, actually, on the subject of Jaron, thank you very much for your email as well. We'll say no more, but thank you for your email.
That sounded a bit dark. Speaking of which, Darkside73 says, just finished fighting with my family. Ace movie.
I didn't see it in the end. Should we talk about Back to the Future again, though?
Yeah, Back to the Future, great film.
I was listening to a podcast the other day that made the bold claim that no one likes the first hour of Back to the Future Part 2, where they go to the future.
What?
That's what I thought.
The hoverboard and the shoes that tie themselves
bloody
up.
Bloody love that bit.
That's great.
I've never seen any of the Back to the Future films.
You are...
Get out!
Absolutely get out of this room. That's your homework for this weekend. So you've got to watch the trilogy.
I'm in Dorset.
Do they not have DVD players there?
No.
Have you been to Dorset before? It's so boring. Watch Back to the Future. It's naff indoors. They've got two towns.
Just indoor
sets. I'll be having plenty of fun.
And watch Back to the Future. Mm-hmm. someone clearly claimed that. And I was like, when I was a kid, that blew my mind that they went to the future. I know that like Zemeckis has said that if they ever had done... Like, when they made the first movie, they didn't plan to do any more.
Yeah.
And he goes, if we had planned to do more, we would, A, wouldn't have sent them to the future, and B, we wouldn't have put Jennifer in the car. Because then it's like, oh, crap, now we're in the future, and Jennifer's here. What are we going to do? Just knock her out. Knock her out. Let's get out of here as quickly as possible.
Harsh Deep Singh, no message, but a little donation.
Thank you.
Tomo says, it's weird seeing Laurie, and Laurie doing the ramble. Sorry, you all have beards. You all look the same.
I wouldn't classify what Randy has as a beard.
Absolutely
what,
not.
And that is...
Well, at least his actual... It's not a great beard.
It's got
beard.
Length. Look it's at the length.
That's the only thing about him that's got length.
Sex tape. Look at the length! Look at the length! Look what I can do, Mum. I mean, not Mum.
Stop interrupting. I keep flicking back.
Totally your sex tape.
Rated R King 22 says, hello, Fakador, the other one, and special hello to Randy Randall, Andy Anderson, Datsun. Quick question, who do each of you think in NXT could use a Sami Zayn, go away for a bit and come back as fresh?
Ooh, good question. But to be honest, I'm going to say no one, because on NXT you're not overexposed.
Yeah, I like most people's characters in NXT.
Yeah, no one feels like there's no gimmick on NXT where I was like, God, that feels stale.
Yeah,
like everyone still feels really fresh, which is part of the benefit is you've only got an hour's worth of TV to do each week.
Yeah, I think we're going to end up with it's a more unfortunate going away and then coming back. You know, it's the same as Sami Zayn's actually because it's injury based. But like Keith Lee could do with going away and coming back for that Keith Lee we got for that like 1 week before he got injured.
Yeah, come back.
He's got his brand new theme song. That Keith Lee.
But he is limitless.
Yeah, off the back of, and then I think almost just forget anything he's done in NXT before the Dijak match.
Yeah,
and then just pretend like that was the last thing,
including losing to Lars Sullivan.
Yes, including that.
Sanj TP, no message but little donation.
Thank you very
Dustin
much.
Dustin Pylon again says Canada has the best flag, by the way. it is a red flag with a maple leaf.
It is. She's got a Mountie on it.
I'm sure Randy knows this. He's very knowledgeable and funny and just a great guy. I swear I'm not making this up.
We've also come up with a theory that he's making up a lot of these messages.
Yeah, he's definitely making them up.
There are questions there, but he adds in the bits where they're like, Randy's also brilliant, by the way. Yeah.
I love Andy Datsun.
I think he's got kind eyes.
he's a sweet soul.
Hearing my last name said he wrong is always funny. I'm not a traffic pylon. I'm French, so I'm assuming it's Pylon. Possibly something like that. Jean
Pillen.
Di Pietro, speaking of unusual surnames, is Randy Datsun.
Unusual surname, you daft racist.
Number two. he says he's Randy Datsun's number two fan, but does spell my surname wrong.
And he's cruel.
Greetings from where Dijak is billed from, WWE extended Dawson contract B2 month because of injury. WWE extended Scott Dawson's contract for 2 months because of injury. Do you think this is out of spite for wanting to release them, or what are your thoughts?
I can't wait to watch half the Revival do something.
No, I'm pretty sure that they're just like keeping these people beyond their contract means out of love. I think they're doing it out of the kindness of their souls. Yeah. That they're keeping Luke Harper off TV and extending his contract because they care. They just care for him so much.
They're hoping. Yeah, I imagine. You've got to be hoping that not giving all the talent to other companies will cause that to not take off quite as much, and therefore the offers won't be as lucrative 4 months down the line.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a bit of a spiteful move, really.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, in all seriousness,
it's probably not even spiteful. That's smart business, but smart business has an air of spitefulness about it, when you boil it down to a non-human transactional thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really not a great situation.
I feel bad
for Harper, and I feel bad for Banks as well if she really is trying to get out of her contract. Yeah. I feel bad for all of them that are trying to get out and we're trying to go on to pastures new because they are independent contractors, but they're not really being treated like actual independent contractors. Especially, that Leo Rush interview he did with Fightful, good Lord, where he essentially said point blank, I don't get paid enough to do the travel. I struggle to live. Working for like WWE on the main roster, and he can't pay for his hotels because he doesn't earn enough money. That's nuts.
It's so far to travel as well. Like they go one end of the country to the other in a day or whatever it is.
Shows all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be different if you're just going down the road.
Quite.
Speaking of Harper, did you see Dave Meltzer reported that the reason that Vince didn't like him was because he couldn't do a southern accent.
Yeah, he couldn't do a southern accent 4 years ago when he was part of the Wyatt family. So Vince has just decided, I don't like him.
I
don't know what to do with him.
Jopper JJ 496 says, wrestlers not getting their releases and adding months to their contract. Why wasn't Dean given extra months, seeing as...
Well, because he was out with an injury, they didn't add any time to his contract. Probably because they like him.
Yeah.
And they were just, if it is, maybe he has said, I'm going to go away for 6 months, I'm going to come back, which is what a lot of people are speculating. I think there was even a report at one point. So maybe there is some sort of like thing there. But we were talking about this down the pub last night. I don't want him to go back at this point because I think him going back would just be a massive disappointment. Like, I think if he just shows up on Raw as Moxley, like you can't do the hardcore death matches you want to do anyway because this is a PG product.
Why does he want to do hardcore death matches?
That's what he likes doing. I've got nothing against him for doing
that. He is a lunatic.
He's the lunatic crazy hair. But he's haircut. But he's got to do
lunatic
that.
Lunatic haircut.
But he's got to do that at CZW, or he's got to do that at Impact, or if AEW are going to go down that sort of route. Like, he can't do it in WWE, not to the level he wants to do it at. You can do hardcore matches fine, but you can't do the level of violence that he wants to do.
Yeah, but I said he was taking bookings already.
I imagine it must be a thing of also they couldn't find an excuse to extend his contract if they were looking for one. Like,
well, the excuse would be he was injured last year, and they could have extended it through.
But it depends on what it depends on what it says in his specific contract as well. Like, there's that, you know, there's a degree to which you might be a bigger star and you get very different terms. Yeah. If you argue enough in the negotiation phase.
Or it could be a case of that when he told Vince, I'm leaving, the agreement was, don't go to AEW. You can wrestle wherever you want. You just can't wrestle for these specific companies. Yeah. Like Alberto has said this. When he left, when he got fired, part of his release was that you are not allowed to wrestle for any of these promotions. That included UFC, of being like, you cannot perform for these for a certain amount of time.
Yeah, it's like a non-compete clause, basically.
It's basically, yeah.
We've got three more. So Villain TV says, how would you call up Undisputed Era after they win all the NXT titles first?
I think that's fantasy booking warfare topics, which we've done about five of now. I think if you want to hear us how we would book Undisputed Era on the main roster, just find the fantasy booking war videos on YouTube.
I think they just turn up now. That's it. No fanfare. They've not won any titles. They haven't done anything for 6 months in NXT, and they just walk in.
You announce them, and then 3 months later, you have them appear on TV.
Lose to the Colons.
Don't feature them then for another 6 months, and then split the team up.
I think they're in the crowd at the next five pay-per-views. That's it. That's my fantasy booking.
Cool.
Andre the Giant Battle Memorial Royale thingy, whatever I said. Sans TP says, when do you think Casey Catfish and the Bottle Men will go to the main roster?
Great. That's a good one. When's she going to go to the main roster? They clearly like her a lot.
She's very green.
Well, yeah, and that stopped them before, has it, Randy?
Yeah.
They called Nia Jax up. They called Carmella up a couple of years ago. Like,
she's got the exact sort of star power and like... She's a very well-known name in America, I assume, for the Ninja Warrior stuff. So, like, I think they'll... Faster than you'd imagine.
Yeah, absolutely, I would say so. They clearly...
Especially now that Ricochet's on the road as well. Mm-hmm. Like, they're going to, you know... And considering that the Superstar Shake-Up didn't split up any couples.
Well, apart from Alexa Bliss and Buddy Murphy.
Oh, yes.
Which we were talking about yesterday, but
They're a troubled pair, though, aren't they? Mm. Been watching Total Divas? No? Okay.
Well, technically the other one as well with... I don't know if it's a spoiler. Scottish woman and Irish man.
Nikki Cross and Killian Dane. I don't know. We don't know because we don't know what brand Nikki Cross is
on. That's true, yes.
She's still unlisted on www.com.
That's true. And
that's
Luke,
what she wants to.
As much as I know how much you love a good plug, so here is Adam Pearson lastly saying, I've got Tuesday off. What should I do?
Oh, what should you do with your Tuesday off? Oh, I don't know, really. It's tough to say. I've just had a
little bit of Domino's.
Yeah, or...
Depends on what part of the world you're in.
Yeah, or come to the Prince Charles Cinema in London's Leicester Square and come watch Ready to Rumble, a dreadful, dreadful, awful, rubbish movie that is one of Ollie Davis's favourite of all time. So... come down and watch it with him as his soul gets destroyed because he hasn't watched it for 15 years and cannot remember much about the film. Come and watch it with us. We're going to do a live podcast record afterwards. We're very excited.
It'll be fun.
It's going to be great, yeah.
There'll be chants and things.
We need to actually rewatch the film and sort of work out what we're going to do.
Yeah, but there'll be...
Because it's a wrestle along
the screen. Taking part. Yeah.
Yeah, taking part that counts. Right, so let's get into the show itself. As we said, they opened with a very cool video package for Kushida hyping up his debut. And our opening contest was a six-man tag with Oney Lorcan, Danny Burch, Humberto Carrillo against the Forgotten Sons. I loved this match.
I thought it was a lot of fun. I feel like Carrillo came off looking like a mug. but it was good otherwise. Yeah.
Yeah, I was a fan of this. I thought the star of this was Danny Burch.
Yeah, but well, so there was that point where the three-man showdown. So there was a bit of a malfunction at the junction between Carrillo and Oney Lorcan.
Yeah, because Jackson Ryker had pushed Cutler out the way.
Yes, so then Carrillo careens into Lorcan, knocking him out.
Yep.
And then at that point...
And seemingly himself.
Yeah, and then at that point, it's Danny Burch in the ring on his own with all three members of the Forgotten Sons surrounding him. And he just... fires up.
He just goes, come on then! And gets into proper governor mode, having a scrap down the pub. And
well, that was what Nigel McGuinness said. He's like, he loves a pint and a fight on a Friday night.
It was so cool. It was a really good moment for Burch. I think he looked absolutely awesome. But the numbers got too much for him. And then Forgotten Sons just like laid waste to these three baby faces.
Yeah, yeah.
Power bombs into the double knees in the corner, which I think is a really cool move.
That is cool.
And then they did a double version of their finish onto, I think it was Carrillo and Lorcan.
Yeah.
And yeah, and got the win. Put the Forgotten Sons over. Massive, very, very strong.
Yeah. Their finish is weird.
I don't like it.
Because it's not a like they hold them in like a reverse DDT and then the stomp happens and then they just drop them. Mm. It's not really a double team move at all. It's not like the Midnight Hour where you like scoop someone up and then you do the it all works together. This is just I'm holding them and then you stamp on them and then I'll let them go. So it's not even like I'm forcing them down at the same. I don't know.
I think that's what they're meant to be doing. But I did really enjoy this match. I think it was a lot of fun, particularly all the Danny Burch stuff. They've clearly got plans for the Forgotten Sons.
Yes.
This feels like a Triple H project that he's super, super into. I mean, he bloody loves a faction, to Triple H.
And he loves a motorbike.
Doesn't he just? Yeah. So
he's going to lead this faction at some point, Triple H.
Exactly.
He next WrestleMania.
Just learned what Sons of Anarchy is. He's have you heard of this new TV show?
Have you seen this? Last week it was Mad Max he'd just seen.
I'd be interested to see where they are going to go with this group. Because they've already got like a top heel faction.
Yes.
In the Undisputed Era. So unless you are going to go into like faction warfare between them. But then that's heel versus heel unless you turn one of them babyface.
I think the Undisputed Era could realistically be tweeners. Like, you know, I think they could, they could easily toad slide into just a like, yeah, they don't have to be babyfaces. But I think they're so over that they can be heels and occupy a babyface space in the audience's hearts and minds.
They can play the role of babyface while not really changing much about themselves.
Absolutely.
Or I could certainly see, because they've announced that there is going to be a takeover that's not attached to a pay-per-view. It's going to be around the same sort of time as the next Saudi Arabia show. Mm-hmm. But they haven't...
Is that not a pay-per-view? No.
Which is funny as well, because they announced it. They kept saying takeover at the thing, but didn't mention a name.
Or a place.
Or a place, because they haven't decided where it is yet.
Takeover Riyadh.
swiftly on. They were talking about... so they're going to push this takeover event. I could genuinely see the Forgotten Sons or Jackson Ryker in a feud with Johnny Gargano.
I think
Gargano, we were talking about it with Kushida earlier, it's like a really good like first feud for Kushida.
Yeah.
But actually the Forgotten Sons are being pushed to a point where like you could easily do is like a simple first feud for Gargano to get through.
Yes.
And you know, having to go through Cutler and Blake being it to get to Jackson Ryker.
Yeah.
Or Jackson Ryker.
You do Cutler and Blake separately, Cutler and Blake together.
Yeah.
And then the final boss is Jackson Ryker and that's at takeover.
Yeah, exactly. So I could see them going with that. But I mean, yeah, they've got something big for them planned.
Mm.
We see earlier today that Shayna
Baszler.
That should be her finisher.
Shayna Baszler.
The wickedly talented, wonderfully, Adele Dazeem.
Shayna Baszler arrived at the Performance Center, and the angel, Kathy Kelly, wanted to know if she felt any empathy for attacking Kairi Sane and for beating up Io Shirai. Baszler was like, yep, just knocked the microphone out of her hand. She didn't have time for any of these silly questions. Kathy then looked at the floor, looked at the microphone, and just kept staring. I just thought, just pick it up, mate.
Acting.
It's not going to pick itself up. Yeah.
Shafir had a great face when Kathy asked this question, because it was the first question was, do you feel any empathy? And then she said, were your actions against Io Shirai at the end of this Kairi Sane match because she has a pinfall over you and you don't have a pinfall over her?
Yeah,
because they'd attacked her. So then, it was like, is it because she doesn't have any... has a pinfall and you don't. And then Shafir was just like... She's been taking lessons from Roddy,
Oh, absolutely. Like, I'm a big fan of Marina Shafir. I mean, I'd like to see them win some matches, but I'm a fan of Marina Shafir. Also, earlier in this week, we get some video clips of Bianca Belair arguing with Mia Yim and Robbie Brookside's standing in the ring trying to break it up, going, what are you doing? What are you doing?
You're in the PC.
We're in the PC. What are you arguing about?
Get back to class, Mia.
We're trying to do training here. What are you doing? Just kept saying, what are you doing over and over again. And it made me laugh every time he said it.
He was like a substitute teacher trying to get control of a class that's not theirs. Like,
oh, my God. It was great.
What are you doing?
But anyway, they're going to have a match next week. Yeah. And then we got another match. It was Mansoor versus Dominik Dijakovic. This match went a lot longer than I was expecting.
Yeah, I was expecting this to be a squash.
And it was much better than I was expecting as well. I thought this was pretty great.
Yeah, it was. There were some really cool moments in this. Like,
I like this Mansoor lad. He's got good sort of star presence about him. It might be because he's 10 foot tall.
He's fast as well.
He's a handsome son of a bitch. Like, he looks great. So, yeah, I've kind of got some hopes for him.
Yeah, I loved it. I really like this match. I love Dijak. I think he's great. His moves are so cool. But then there was that brilliant bit where he goes for a huge backbreaker, and Mansoor flips out of it basically, and then kicks him in the head, then stands on his knee.
Yes.
And enziguris him.
Yeah, it was great. Oh. It was almost like a Mako Satomura axe kick thing. It was really cool. But my favorite spot of this is when Mansoor tried to do a dive. Dijak catches him, gives him a knee, and then just throws him over the ropes.
Yeah.
Like, out over the ropes to the outside.
Yeah.
And I was like, the strength of this lad. Because, as we said, Mansoor's not a small guy.
No.
He just threw him like he was nothing. It was so impressive.
He's so good.
It was really cool. And
time to fly.
And then he hit the Feast Your Eyes for the win. Not on board with the Feast Your Eyes. I think it's a clunky name for a finisher anyway.
I like the slogan.
Yeah.
I just don't think the move should be called Feast Your Eyes.
No, exactly.
But I think you can just... I like Feast Your Eyes and I like the actions and all that stuff. I think that's over as well. I think the crowd really like that. And it is a cool finisher.
Oh, it's
so good.
Yeah, looks really smart.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I think it's just because he's like Sagat. Like it's like
Tiger Knee. It went much longer than I was expecting, but didn't mind it.
No, I was very happy. Really enjoyed it.
I could have had it going a bit longer, if anything. And then last week, it was a couple of weeks ago that Dijak had called out Velveteen Dream for the North American Championship, and Dream came out to answer. And he came out on his couch with his two lady friends sort of wheeling him along.
Struggling to wheel him out.
And he just clicks and the music stops. And because Dijak has been doing this, and I was corrected on this, so thank you very much to that person who did correct me. His nationalist gimmick, not a white supremacist, I incorrectly called him, as a white nationalist gimmick. Or maybe it's just a nationalist gimmick, rather.
I don't even know if it is a nationalist gimmick. From what I've seen of it, I don't know, I've read very little about this, but from what I've kind of seen, I feel like he's kind of going for, it smacks obviously of sort of nationalism stuff, but is it about America? Because his character before was about like his family coming over from Poland and like working their way up. So I feel like it's more sort of a weird sort of survival of the strongest vibe.
Think,
I don't know.
I think it is.
He did do the weird purifying tweet. But
the promo that he had,
which
the
wasn't
other
a
week.
Very smart idea when considering who the North American champion is and who you're going up against next.
Yeah. But I think his promo about was just that a lot of Americans have become lazy and they've just sort of they're resting on their laurels. My family just worked so hard to try and make this American dream and I'm going to fight for the American dream. Yeah. In so many words, anyway. It's kind of using that as a heel tactic.
Yeah.
And
but it's almost, that's almost like a, like an immigrant kind of like his backstory is of immigration to America and I don't know.
Yeah, but it's kind of furthered here because Velveteen Dream, rather than just cut a promo, sang the national anthem.
Yes.
But changed the words to reflect the career that he's had, sort of about how he's beaten Matt Riddle, how he beat Buddy Murphy and kicked his derriere, and how he's going to beat Dijak and things like that. I thought it could have been so goofy. But I think that Dream is so good that it worked like a charm. The crowd lapped it up.
I mean, it's a fairly labored metaphor that the American dream, the North American dream versus someone who wants to change the face of America.
For the North American championship.
For the North American. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
But I really liked it. I thought it was really fun. They had the words up on screen and everything as well, so the crowd could sort of sing along with it.
Which is helpful because Dream is not fantastic.
Oh, not a singer.
No.
No, absolutely not
Almost
a singer.
Almost as if he hadn't ever heard the song before.
In all fairness, like, I get confused between which one's the national anthem and which one's the theme song. Because they do like to just, I feel like they change it up every other week.
Which is the theme song?
America the Beautiful, I think, is the theme song.
Party in the USA by Miley Cyrus is the theme
that's
song.
The, that's
Star Spangled Banner.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that and the other one that is Born in the USA by Bruce Springsteen, which they, I'm not understanding what the song's about, use it as a theme song. It's not a good song for America, folks. We're getting a new John Cena DVD.
Oh, yeah.
Cool, it's two discs.
5 hours of content.
5 hours of 15 John Cena matches.
I mean, 1 hour per move.
You could buy this DVD collection or get the network and just find the matches themselves.
Or watch any one match of John Cena's and you're probably halfway there.
It might be all right, yeah. So we've only got two more things to talk about, really. We actually only got one thing. Next week we're going to get Matt Riddle versus Adam Cole, which sounds awesome.
Oh,
mate, that's a pay-per-view match if ever there was one. And Ranello compares it to Game of Thrones, which is a reference that completely went over my head because I don't watch the show. But because of how much that's in the pop culture zeitgeist, I knew exactly what he was talking about. Winterfell? Is that right?
Yeah, that's a castle.
Nailed it. Was that the battle, right, that they did last week?
Yeah.
Nailed it. Thank you. And then they recap what happened last week because Matt Riddle got involved in the confusion.
In the Battle of Winterfell.
And they sort of got involved with the Undisputed Era kind of imploding and Adam Cole accidentally kicking Roderick Strong. And that led into what actually might be my favourite moment of this whole show. I loved this segment here.
It was a really cool segment.
Because they had the Undisputed Era cutting a promo and you're like, oh, look, they've set aside all their differences. Roderick was like, Strong was so on board with the group and he was really actually putting over Adam Cole. And you had Fish make some comments, you had O'Reilly, and it felt like an old school Undisputed Era promo. You had the music in the background.
Yep.
And Strong is there going like, Adam Cole is our leader. We're an amazing group. We're looking forward to the future and he's going to beat up Matt Riddle next week. And Adam Cole takes over and he's like, yeah, you know, Riddle, blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to drop the ball like Roddy did last week.
Yeah.
And that's when Roddy's just like, what?
Yeah. Hey.
Hang on. And that the music cuts out and is like, I didn't drop the ball. And then just starts squabbling and then
Roddy leaves.
Roddy just walks away.
Yeah.
And they're all standing there going like, oh, can't he take a joke? Because like, I was just joking. I was like, something
Bobby's
meant to be
like,
a joke.
Man, timing, dude.
Yeah, timing, right. Dude. And Bobby then walks away.
Yeah.
Bobby leaves the group standing. And you're left now with a splinter within the group. So we thought it was going to be just Roddy going. But the way this was set up is that it's Roddy and Fish splintering off and Cole and O'Reilly representing the other side of it. And like, I was thinking about this on the way in. That as a tag match on a pay-per-view, on a takeover.
Yeah.
That's almost like it's ordered by William Regal or something, or they just decide, you know, who is going to be the leader of this group. It's not a breakup of the group. It's not a split, but they are going to have a match. The same way that like DX had matches or like tag matches.
Yeah, I think that's perfect. I think that's the best way of using them as well at the moment, because I actually think we need to move those guys away from titles. Like they should be in four ways for title matches, but or like whatever, like they should be in multiple team matches, but it shouldn't just be always rolling out the Undisputed Era to be either in the main event or to be for the North American title or for the tag titles. It needs to be like them on a pay-per-view because that makes sense. Like they need to be on takeovers because they're the most popular thing. But this is a great way to do it without having them even in, like, interrupt the other stories that are going.
Exactly. They're just in their own little sort of self-contained
pocket universe.
And then at the end of it, they come out the other side stronger. Because I don't want this group to break up. I don't want any of them to leave.
No.
I want this foursome to stay together because I think there's so much more you can get out of them before you kind of splint them off into other things. But I think that'd be quite fun.
Yes.
And that'd be a wicked tag match as well. Roddy and Fish versus O'Reilly and Cole. Mm-hmm. That'd be great. So overall, I thought, good show. Really, really enjoyed this. I thought all three matches were great, particularly Dijak and Mansoor. I thought it was a really, really fun show. Loved that Undisputed Era thing as well. And I'm looking forward to next week, me and Bianca Belair and Riddle versus Cole.
Yes.
Yes, please, mate.
Thank you very much. I'll take some of that.
What do you think?
I really, really liked it. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I got to watch it at a slightly later time today. So
you did, yeah.
All the benefits.
And it flew by as well.
Yeah, no, it was fast. It was a rapid little show.
Yeah, I think it was shorter.
It was 47 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Someone, I think it was Phil Stopford, tweeted me this morning to ask if it was one of our viewers wondering if it's a...
Maybe they dropped a match.
That's what he said. I wonder if they dropped a match from the airing. It's probably Keith Lee versus Dijak. That seems to never happen.
So
I thought this was a really, really strong show. Absolutely flew by and was perfect because we got back really late from the pub last night and I needed a lie in. So yeah, I was quite happy for a speedy show.
I needed a win.
Yeah, I needed a win. That Subway just didn't do what I needed to do. You can hear more about our Subway escapades on the podcast, which we recorded previous to this. Randy Datson, Super Chats.
Did you mention that I thrashed you in...
Yeah, we did actually. Okay, yeah, we did talk about that.
That's fine then. Robert Aquatic says, Mansoor, also known as Mustafa Rollins.
Bless you.
God, I thought you were laughing really hard there.
No, sorry.
Victor Vega says, is my friend Joey Ryan going to the WWE?
Yeah, because he's announced that he's going off the indies and he's having sort of like a farewell tour to the indies, and they set up on being the Elite that he misses his tag team with Candice LeRae.
Yeah.
Which, but I don't know if they would have then suggested that sort of thing on being the Elite that he's going to go to WWE.
I think it's a word.
And he's going to end up at All Elite.
I think it's just a fun way of framing your if he is going to AEW. AEW's not going to classify itself as an indie, internally, and I think that might turn out that's sort of the vibe. Like, indie wrestlers are going to wrestle on it, but like, it's not going to be an indie.
Yeah,
and I think the same thing. Ollie Davis just walked into.
Ollie Davis just walked into the room. Oh,
hello.
I like it, mate.
Oh my god, that is horrendous.
That is not horrendous. That's a keeper.
Yeah, we can't discuss.
We cannot discuss what we just saw.
gross though, horrible.
Yeah.
Shriveled, really.
Absolutely. Anyway, what were we talking about?
Joey Ryan. Yeah. So I don't think they're going to. I don't think they're going to frame AEW as the indies anyway. So it could just be that farewell to the indies because I'm not going to do the circuits anymore. I'm just going to perform here.
Yeah. Sign exclusively with AEW.
Alternatively, it is quite a fun T-shirt to sell.
Yeah.
So like, I feel like that might be a case.
Yeah, making a lot of money off merch. The story is that WWE did offer him a deal because he's the only part of being the Elite that's not signed to All Elite Wrestling yet.
Yes.
So they were like, well, we can't get any of the others, but we could get this guy.
Yeah.
The
deal was that they wanted to put him in NXT for a bit, and then they wanted him to go into training.
Basically,
right?
Like, he would do 2 years in NXT and then become a trainer. But as Meltzer quite rightly points out, he's 39, and he would have to take a huge pay cut to go and do this, because he makes a crap ton of money on the independent circuit.
He's at every independent show, I've ever been to.
And all the merchandise that he sells as well. Yeah. Like, he's doing very, very well for himself, and he would take a ginormous pay cut to join NXT.
Yeah.
And he's probably just not going to want to do that at the age of 39.
And especially because a lot of his wrestling style is theatre of the imagination more than anything else. Yeah. It's like, I'm just using my penis. Like,
Jim Cornette's favourite.
Yeah.
So yeah, I could certainly see him going to AEW rather than WWE. Mm.
D-Matic the Ghost, no message, but nice little donation.
Thank you very much.
Shaded Bear says, I'm not making this up. Mr. Datsun should really be on the main camera instead of two Aiden Englishmen.
Go.
I agree, Shaded Bear. Tomo says, Randy Datsun has betrayed me, but I will never leave his side, just like I will never leave the WrestleTalk side. That's because I turned heel on him in the comments.
I'm looking at you, Shaded.
You turned heel on Tomo. What did you do?
He's in a tag team with John DiPietro, but Eric Foster started a feud with him, so I joined Eric Foster's team.
Are the worst kind of friend.
And told they're not my friends, and I told them that
they are merely my fans. Plebeians that worship me.
And I told them that
they're plebs.
Their hometown sucks.
Worry not, mere mortals. The Datsun has arrived. bringing light and power.
Oh, God. Onto your miserable existence.
Danny, your boy DeVito, big fan of ours, says Fakey Adore is enormous sitting next to Luke, in my opinion.
Well, you are taller than me, yeah. It's nice to see Danny DeVito.
I am much closer to the camera than Luke. I am a good 100 foot closer to the camera than Luke.
Luke's a sloucher and you're a leaner.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. How tall are you?
I'm 6'1".
Yeah, so I'm about 3 inches tall, so I'm 5'10".
Am I taller than you?
Probably. Oh, I'm not that tall, mate.
XG Krampus says, Undisputed Era having all the titles early next year? Question mark, question mark.
Oh, I thought it was going to happen this year, but I don't know. And it still could do. Like, that's kind of the great thing about NXT is that it always feels fairly unpredictable of where they're going to go. You can kind of like theorize certain things, particularly like with this Undisputed Era split, but it might go in a completely different direction.
So I think, yeah, so we've said before the split could either be like they resolve and they come back stronger. It could be a plot within the group to make it feel like make everyone think they're at their weakest. So that's when they're going to be like, "Oh, you're going to get a shot at this because the Undisputed Era are splintered and then weak, and we can beat them." And then that's when they suddenly spring the trap that they're like, "Oh no, we're fine. I've got everything."
Yeah.
And there's definitely potential for that, but I feel like more than likely they're never going to win all the titles, and they're just going to move up eventually.
Could be.
I don't know.
Ivan Drogo, with our last one for now, says, are Forgotten Sons over heels or just Corbin heat heels?
No, because we've sort of said this week that Corbin's over as a promo, but once the bell rings, no one cares. And I think that when Forgotten Sons wrestle, people don't like them and they don't want to see them wrestle. But yeah, but is it a case of they don't want to see them wrestle, or is it they want to see them get beaten up?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both. I think they need more action, like when Ryker beat down Carrillo last week.
Yeah, like that was genuine heel heat.
More stuff, more stuff like that, where he looked impressive, but was beating down a very popular babyface, and like that people hated him because of that. But you can sit back and go, well, that was a really cool moment, and that, I think they haven't been involved in enough cool moments beyond one match in the Dusty Classic and that.
Yeah.
And the rest of the time, they've just been sort of having fairly bland, rest hold heavy, slow beatdowns.
That's why people try and stay forgotten at
Well,
them.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
I think time will tell whether they can get over as heels or whether they get Baron Corbin X-Pac heat, which is just like, good Lord, I'm bored of you.
Go away.
I'm literally tuning out of watching your show now because I know you're going to be in the main event.
Yeah.
Was that all the last one?
Sort of. We got one from earlier that I didn't get to because it was a two-part question. But I think Jobber JJ is asking whether the WWE sponsors have a say in who leaves and who stays and stuff.
Don't think they have that sort of power. No. I think, and it depends.
Not getting Snickers calling up. I don't like Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, yeah, Snickers, and Snickers really only got involved in the Fabulous Moolah situation because people started to complain to Snickers that the match was called that. I don't think people are going to Snickers to be like, make Dean Ambrose stay. Otherwise, I don't think Snickers care.
Yeah, I think like there's got to be a degree to which like
networks,
like the Fox deal is going to be a big one, and it's going to be why they're trying to keep certain people and moving other people around because there's going to be a list of people, surely on like
I'd imagine Fox will
like,
list
we
of
want
people,
these people. So like they're going to try and keep Sasha Banks most likely.
Yeah,
like
if Fox
wanted,
yeah,
you feel like she would be on that list.
You'd think.
You would think.
We have actually had just two more.
Depends on how old the WWE programming they showed Fox when they were selling it. They were like...
Or they were just showing loads of Ronda Rousey clips.
Yeah.
Sanj TP says, Ziggler to AEW or NXT or NXT UK. Love you guys.
I think he's just fine doing his comedy. And I'm fine seeing him there. I've been past Ziggler for the last like 6 years. So I think
after that Intercontinental feud with Miz, that was when I... That was my last hurrah of like, I like Dolph Ziggler.
I did like the run with Drew McIntyre last year. I thought that was great. It never really felt like it went anywhere, but like it was fun for a while.
I feel like that was the defibrillator first shock of him like resurgence. Yeah. Just like, boom, okay, I'm alive and I'm flatlining again.
And it's funny as well, actually, because while I said that I quite enjoyed that, I did groan when he came out for the Royal Rumble. All
right.
I was like, bloody course Dolph Ziggler's here, and it leads to Smeg All. That's all Dolph Ziggler ever bloody does.
I like Smeg All. And lastly, Tomo's back in with Randy.
Wasn't that game? Like Peggle. Just follow up just to Peggle, Smeggle.
Tomo says, Randy, why did you say that we are not friends? I thought we had something, man. I see how it is. Luke, we are friends now. It's because I don't like people from Australia, just people from New Zealand. So
Tomo, we are friends because the SWAF Nation are all friends. We love each and every one of you equally, and we just think you're all tremendous.
Whereas Andy's running a white nationalist gimmick.
Yeah.
Whoa! I'm not.
Randy is trying to play heel on Twitter, though.
He is, though. Yeah.
Unsuccessfully. The Sonic the Hedgehog movie trailer was released this week.
Mm-hmm.
You were not a fan?
No, I wasn't, no.
I think the...
Because it looks like a load of bollocks.
I think the movie will be bad, but I'm very much looking forward to watching it. I think it is... It is 1993 Mario Brothers levels of intrigue for me, and
no.
I just cannot wait to see it. Also,
no, because 1993 Mario Brothers is like... They've barely seen the source material. They've seen the source material for Sonic the Hedgehog. And are doing something that seems close-ish to it, but also inspired a little bit, I feel, by like the likes of Detective Pikachu and stuff like that, and just flubbed it at every stage, apart from Jim Carrey.
Yeah, Jim Carrey looks like he's going to be a lot
of fun. But Jim Carrey is the only cartoon character. Like, not even Sonic is a cartoon character in this Sonic the Hedgehog.
He's a gross monster.
Yeah, Jim Carrey is a cartoon character in this film, and Sonic is not. Sonic is like... I don't know what Sonic is.
Do we know if he's Eggman or Robotnik?
I think he's probably Robotnik.
I'll check on IMDb, but I don't know if that's been officially announced.
I feel like you would go with the more proper name, Robotnik.
And he'll be like...
Or Kimboto.
Or they'll call him like, yeah, Ivor Kintobor.
Kintobor.
And, but they'll refer to him as the Eggman.
Mm.
Like in the same way as like, he's some sort of Superman.
Mm.
But anyway, we got this email in from Doug that says, hi Luke and Ollie and Laurie. I was listening to your Raw Review podcast and you guys were talking about the new Sonic the Hedgehog movie. I actually worked on the film as Jim Carrey's stunt double.
Ooh.
There wasn't a crazy amount of action, but it was fun to be a part of. Love to send you a photo of the two of us because Pixar it didn't happen, but I'll have to wait until the film is released, hopefully in November if I remember. Keep up the amazing work. I hope.
Otherwise, I'm saying it now, liar. I'm calling it now.
Sticking with the Pixar, it didn't happen.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Although the film, do you know the film's not released until Boxing Day in the UK?
Boxing Day.
Boxing Day, mate.
Wow, I know what I'm not doing on Boxing Day.
Yeah, he is Dr. Ivo Robotnik.
Yeah, there you go.
It's not even Dr. That was Kintobor. Crikey.
No, that was too complex, Luke.
Oh, they didn't read Sonic the comic. They didn't read the complex origin stories.
I just don't understand how the design of Sonic the Hedgehog got signed off.
Oh, it's a gross monster. He is terrifying.
He's got tiny little untrustworthy eyes like Randy Datson. and little tiny human teeth.
Like Randy Datson.
And an annoying personality, exactly like Randy Datson. For those not in the know, Randy Datson is in the room.
He's just walked in, so we thought, well, let's rip on Randy. I mean, I'm still...
He looks like he eats chili dogs every meal.
So, yeah, anyway, Doug, I hope you do remember this, because I would very much like to see those photos of you and Jim. Mm,
the best bit.
The best bit, absolutely, yeah. This also comes in from Ashley. He was talking about, on a previous podcast, the podcast How Did This Get Made? And was wondering if I was a fan of that. Mm. Speaking of bad movies, of which I am, and Ashley mustn't say, just thought I'd email to let you know how much my mind was blown over the revelation that you are a How Did This Get Made fan. I've been listening for almost a year now, and I'm currently 118 movies through my goal of watching every movie and listening to every podcast. Highlights over far up in Miami Connection, Rad, Sleepaway Camp, and Chopping Mall. It was great to hear my fave podcast give my second fave podcast a shout out. Just need Paul, June, and Jason to start supporting Wrestle Talk. P.S. What have been your favourites so far, and which ones are you most looking forward to? Paul Shear, the host of that, is actually a wrestling fan.
Whoa.
He was at All In. He was backstage at All In.
Madness.
So if we can get Paul on board. Because I think Jason is also a wrestling fan, but he's certainly a wrestling fan from the old days, because they did one of the Hogan movies, Mr. Nanny, I think they did. Mm. And they have this amazing quote from Hogan where he's like, look, most people know me from Rocky 3. And then the reporter's like, no, they don't. I think most people know you from being Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. Strangely enough.
Sleepaway Camp, the one you list there, is one of my all-time favorite episodes. I think it's such a great podcast. And I was a big fan of Sleepaway Camp anyway because it was one of my uni movies. We used to watch it like... On a bi-weekly basis, we'd sit down to watch Sleepaway Camp because it is a great, great, terrible film. And I absolutely love it, particularly for the finale, which I won't spoil if anyone hasn't seen it. I'll try and see if I've got any other emails. Should we see if we've got any 80% facts before we get out of here?
Mm-hmm.
This one's an interesting one. This comes in from James, who says it's a 100% fact with an 80% chaser. Hello, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, Pete, and of course... Tomo, not long ago, I sent you an 80% fact regarding lizards not being able to breathe when they run. This is why they always look to be moving in short bursts. You read this fact out during an NXT review and I played it for my wife. She just looked at me and said, don't be lazy, find out if it's true. She clearly does not believe in the purity of this segment and immediately looked up lizards and discovered that lizards do in fact have limited to no respiration due to the lizard's legs alternating from the left side to the right. My wife clearly does not want us to enjoy ourselves. To make up for this, I'm submitting another 80% fact, and if this is read out on air, I will not be sharing it with her. My dad once
Damn it, Sharon!
My dad once convinced me that if something gets stuck in quicksand and dragged to the bottom, whatever had previously been dragged to the bottom will be forced to the top.
Ooh, a one-in-one-out policy.
Yeah, like a nightclub.
There's a bouncer at the bottom. He checks you in.
And then you walk out.
Someone out.
And go get a dirty Subway. And he says, for example, if a cow fell into quicksand, was dragged to the bottom, and a horse fell in a month later, a big bloated dead cow carcass would then resurface once the horse hits the bottom.
This is the same logic that woman who swallowed a fly used. She swallowed a spider, she swallowed a cat, she swallowed a dog, she swallowed a horse. None of it worked.
He said, not sure if it's true, not looking it up, not telling my wife. Later, everyone. That's from James. Good 80% fact there.
Definitely false.
I just know that they are perilous in retro games, particularly in Quackshot. You do not want to... Don't get in the quicksand.
Unless you keep jumping.
Oh, yeah, that's the
like
way.
If you repeatedly, like in Mario, if you just repeatedly jump, you don't sink.
Yeah, that pretty much
I think that works in real life, too. If someone fancies testing it and reporting back,
yeah,
please do.
What I have heard about quicksands is the more you move,
yeah,
the quicker you'll get
the
out.
The faster you move, the faster you get out. Yeah.
Right, well, let's bring...
That's why it's called quicksand.
The name gives you a
hint. Yeah, it's a hint.
They're trying to help you out.
Be quicker than the sand, man.
Like. Be quicker than the sand. Right, this one comes in from Luke Chador, who says, hi, Oliver, Lucador, Fakador, and Candy... he said Shatson. My 80% fact is as follows.
Sounds about right.
Boogers are actually pieces of your brain that have fallen out.
Mm. That's why we get dumber over time.
That's what it is. That's why we end up eating Subways. Yeah. The ability to be able to eat something.
Well, 90% of what fell out was jalapenos and boogers, so...
And I also heard a nasty 80% fact that Randy Datsun has a fan base. Laughing, crying emoticon. BS on the go...
Sick burn.
He said on the Go Home Smackdown for Mania, he wasn't able to get his sign on TV, but he was on TV himself. And there is Luke Chador in his Luke Chador mask.
Looking chuffedies.
Looking absolutely chuffedies. So, thank you very, very much for your email. Let's look at the time. Let's see if we can get another one in. This one comes in from Robert. He says, hello, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, Chopper Pete. Sorry, I'll try that again. Hello, Luke, Ollie, Fakador, Chopper Pete. And because he deserves a shout-out, Housemate Simon. Here are a few 80%
Simon section.
Hashtag Housemate Simon. Here are a few 80% facts for you. The Eiffel Tower has two legs longer than the others. Well, surely it's just than the other because there's only three of them, isn't there?
There's four legs on the Eiffel Tower.
Is there four? I thought it was a triangle.
It's not a tripod. It's just a giant tripod. There's at the top, Luke, is a camera, perfectly balanced to film what's going on in Russia. It's a remnant from the war, I heard. Yeah,
I am like the kid in orthopedic shoes. I stand corrected. The Eiffel Tower has two legs longer than the other. This is because, in case of a natural disaster and the tower should fall, there is a high chance of the tower falling down into a more controlled area in a more controlled way. In addition to this, there has been a long patch of grass beside the tower in place if it should fall. Another 80% fact is the reason we have an overbite. Sorry?
Yeah, that's where all the picnickers will be.
Look at the tunnel!
Yeah, that's how you get rid of tourists.
This is great content, Andy, because you're just talking without a microphone and no one can hear you.
It was possessed in
just
the original...
makes amazing audio content.
The Eiffel Tower was possessed in the inaugural issue of Umbrella Academy. Hmm. And the Umbrella Academy had to fight it.
Yeah, well, thank
you. Other Eiffel Tower facts.
But that's 100%. The other 80% fact is the reason we have an overbite is due to the invention of cutlery. Before knives and forks, people would eat with their hands, usually pulling meat off with just their teeth, causing the lower jaw to be pulled further forward, and the cheek muscles setting in during development of a child into adulthood. Thanks for reading my email from Yorkshire Mate and Pledgehammer Robert.
I don't believe that.
You don't buy that one?
That's like putting yourself on a rack every day to get taller. It's like Gonzo in Muppet's Treasure Island.
Yeah, that's what I was getting. He could play for the NBA now.
Yeah, exactly. That's why he's got an overbite.
And lastly, this one comes in from Wild Wolf, who says, "Hello, WrestleTalk crew. As usual, I hope you're doing well. I'm stepping up with my own 80% fact that I heard while listening to another podcast called The Flop House, which is a bad movie podcast." Anyway, I think there's like 20,000 bad movie podcasts.
Where are the good movie podcasts?
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll start one. I'm always looking for new ideas. Anyways, the fact that I heard is that bears have guard hairs around their penis. So if you ever try to grab a bear's genitals, their hairs will poke you. I never bothered looking it up because I think it's funnier if I don't.
Chastity bears.
So
that's
like trying to strike Sonic.
Yeah. Well, they can't decide whether it's spines or fur on the Sonic the Hedgehog.
No. Oh. Because he's a gross monster.
Yeah, because he's a disgusting creature and he should be put down.
You'd have thought as well. They just looked at us like, it's an error.
Yeah.
We've made an error here.
I just want them to... They need one of those little nooses on a stick that they just put over his head and then they just take him outside and shoot him.
Oh, bless him.
Take him to the knacker's yard.
I bloody love you. I love you, Sonic, if you're listening. Anyway, that's all we've got time for this episode of the show. Ben Schwartz might be listening. We are going to be back on the Saturday show. I don't know what we're going to be talking about, but it will be... Actually, I said it's going to be Ollie and I, but it might not be. It might be me and someone else. It might be me and you. I don't know yet because...
What a treat.
Ollie's got to let us know. And he's a bit rubbish at that sort of thing. Anyway, so we've got time for on this show. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.